Genesis 4, verse 8b. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Here then you see the deceptiveness under the above dissembled conversation of Cain with his brother. Cain had been admonished by his father with divine authority to guard against sin in the future, and to expect pardon for the past through the promised seed. But Cain despises both admonitions and indulges in his sin, as all the wicked do. For true is the saying of Solomon, when the wicked cometh, there cometh also contempt, and with ignominy cometh reproach. Proverbs 18, verse 3. Just in the same manner, our ministry of the word at the present day deserves no blame. We teach, we exhort, we rebuke, we turn ourselves every way, that we may recall the multitude from the security of their sin to the fear of God. But the world, like an untamed beast, still goes on and follows not the word, but its own lusts, which it strives to palliate under the appearance of what is honest and right. The prophets and the apostles also stand before us as examples of the same labor in vain, and we also are taught the same by our own experience. Our adversaries, being so often admonished and convicted, know that they are doing wrong, and yet they lay not aside their murderous hatred against us. From the case of Cain, therefore, learn what a hypocrite is, namely, one who pretends to the worship of God and charity, and yet at the very same time destroys the worship of God and slaughters his brother. And all this semblance of goodwill is only intended to create the better opportunities of doing the harm designed. For if Abel had foreseen the implacable wrath and the truly diabolical fury of his brother, he might have saved his life by flight. But as Cain betrayed nothing of this kind while he talked with his brother in seeming affection and put on the appearance of his usual goodwill, Abel perished before he felt the fear of danger. There is no doubt that Abel, when he saw his brother rising up against him, entreated and implored him not to pollute himself with this awful sin. But a mind thus beset by sin pays no regard to prayers nor heeds uplifted hands. Just as Cain, therefore, had despised the admonition of his father, so now he also equally despises his brother, fallen on his knees before him. These things instruct us in that cruel tyranny of Satan, under which our nature, when involved in sins, is bound. Hence Paul calls such the children of wrath, Ephesians 2, verse 3, and declares that such are taken captive by Satan at his will, 2 Timothy 2:26. For when we are mere men, that is, when we apprehend not the blessed seed by faith, we are all like Cain, and nothing is wanting but an opportunity to murder our brother. For nature, destitute of the Holy Spirit, is driven by the same evil spirit by which Cain was driven to murder. Whereas, if there were in anyone those sufficient powers or that free will of which men talk, by which a man might defend himself against the assaults of Satan, these gifts of nature would most assuredly have existed in Cain, to whom belonged the first birthright and the promise of the blessed seed. But it was not so. And the condition of all men is the same. Unless nature be helped by the Spirit of God, it cannot uphold itself nor stand. Then why do we vainly and absurdly boast of free will? Now follows another remarkable passage.